Well, thank you, brother. I guess I better call you Brother Ziegler. Thank you for the introduction. And we have been together for a long time and working in youth camps and all kinds of things. But he's a lot older than I am. I just want you to know that. There's a reason I say that is because I was with his son Friday night, and we were talking, and he just thought I was a lot older than his dad. I said, absolutely not. I said, your parents are a lot older than I am. So anyway, we had a good time there in Lima on Friday night. And it's good to be here again for the second time. You know, it's nothing to get invited the first time, but to get invited back the second time. Maybe some wires got crossed. But anyway, we're glad to be here this morning. And I enjoyed the drive a lot better than I did the last time. Last time we were getting a big snow in Kokomo, and I text the pastor and I said, well, I don't know if we're going to make it. I mean, we were supposed to get 13, 14 inches, and I think we ended up getting about that. And I said, and Brother Ziegler said, oh, no, it's just raining down here. I said, okay, well, we'll start early. We'll come down Saturday evening. And we came down Saturday evening, and it wasn't raining down here. We came through Martinsville, and it was just pouring down snow, and I was getting really bitter. But anyway, we got here and safely thanked the Lord and spent the night. And then Sunday night on the way home, it wasn't raining here either. And so we kind of traveled back on some snowy roads on the way back, but it was, thank the Lord, we got home safely. But I did enjoy the ride this morning. It was much prettier, and I actually got to look around as on the way here and on the way home. Last time, I was pretty much just focusing on the road. But anyway, what a beautiful drive we had down here this morning, and it's good to be here in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's stand, open our Bibles to Psalms 57. Psalms 57, verse 5, and then we'll be looking at a couple verses in Psalms 97. Psalms 57, verse 5, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Then Psalms 97, verse 7. Psalms 97, verse 7. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. I want to talk to us this morning about, the title is, Be Thou Exalted, O God, in my life. Be thou exalted, O God, in my life. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the Sabbath day that we have specifically your people to lay it aside, to worship, to rest. We thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for your presence of the Holy Spirit that we have already sensed early this morning and even in this very service. We thank you for that. We worship you today. You're everything that you say you are, and we just worship you today. We ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit would come and minister into every one of our hearts today. We ask that the Holy Spirit would come and minister unto me and help me as I minister the Word of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It is true that in order to achieve harmony in relationships, each individual must be held in its proper position to one another. For example, a child should not rule his parents. That doesn't create harmony in a relationship. How many just loves to watch a child tell his mom and dad no? Isn't that beautiful? I may get in trouble with this one, but a wife should not rule her husband. Any amens on that one? No, not too many. An employee should not rule his employer. Solomon, in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 21 through 23, says there are three things that causes the earth to be perturbed, or causes the earth to be unsettled. Out of those three, two have to deal with improper relationships one to another. One of those that Solomon says is when a servant reigns over his master. And the second is when a maid servant succeeds her mistress. For an example, it didn't work out very well for Abraham when Hagar, the maidservant, had a baby before Sarah, the mistress. That created some serious relationship problems. In any of these things that I talked about, that if they do happen, there will not be harmony in a relationship. I gave those examples this morning to help us to illustrate. The same thing applies in keeping harmony between the Creator and the creature. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." You see, God resists the proud. That alone doesn't create a very good relationship with God. If we do not exalt Him in our lives and put Him where He needs to be, that all of a sudden creates a serious problem with our relationship with God. Because God always resists the proud, but then He gives grace to those that humbly submit and worship and follow and serve Him. You see, God must be exalted in everything in our lives in order to have a good relationship with Him. God must be exalted in everything in our lives in order for us to keep harmony in our relationship with God. The scripture verse that we read this morning, Psalms 97 verse 9, says, "Thou art exalted," and I love this part, "Thou art exalted far above all gods." You see, God is not somewhere included in our other things that we love and cherish in our lives. God needs to be exalted far above everything else that we cherish in our lives. Far above it. Far above all things, God must be exalted in our lives. This is one of the top 10 commandments, and we probably all know it very well, but thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods before me. It doesn't work when a man, being nothing but a created being, doesn't truly worship his Creator. It doesn't work. It doesn't create the relationship that we as created beings desperately need, a relationship with God. We desperately have to be dependent upon Him. We desperately need His direction. We desperately need His guidance. We desperately need His love, His peace, everything that God offers into our lives. We desperately need that. And it doesn't work well when we as created beings don't worship God as we should. Not exalting God is how all things went wrong from the beginning. It began by an angel wanting to exalt himself above God. That immediately caused disharmony in heaven. That immediately caused disharmony between God and the angel. Who was supposed to be exalted in heaven? An angel? Absolutely not. God is to be exalted above all things. And that created disharmony between the angel and God. That began a broken relationship between God and the angel. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 15 says this, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of morning? How art thou cut to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" What the scripture verse is saying, O Lucifer, how did your relationship with God become broken off? How did these things happen to you? Why aren't you cut to the ground? Why did it weaken the nations? How did this happen? Well, Isaiah explains what happens. "For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven." You know, that's the first thing that always breaks a relationship between us and God when we start saying, I will. It's all about what I want to do. God says, you know, you got to do this and you got to do that. And you say, no, this is what I'm going to do. And this is what it says about Satan. I will ascend up to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. We continue with the eyes. I. Satan goes on to say, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. The scripture verse says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. It automatically broke a relationship between the angel and God when Satan began to say, no, this is what I will do. I will do. And it broke the relationship that the angel and God had. We don't know how, for how many years. Maybe thousands and hundreds of thousands of years that this angel and God had a wonderful relationship. But all of a sudden, when he decided that he was going to do what he wanted to do and exalt himself above God, it all of a sudden broke a relationship that God had with this angel for years and years and years. Revelation 12:9 says, and the great dragon was cast out. The relationship was broken. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. All of a sudden, God and these angels, a broken relationship because Satan and his angels were trying to exalt himself above God. So this morning, there is only one way we can break this curse that began with Satan. And that is putting God back in his rightful place in our lives. That God becomes exalted in all things in us, in our lives. Putting God in his rightful place as the creator, and we as nothing but his created being, his creature. Isaiah also says, as he talks about us and our comparison to God, God in all of his glory and who he is, really we're considered as almost nothing but blades of grass. And so when we begin to put God in his rightful place in his life, remember how great and wonderful and powerful and glorious God is, and we begin to exalt him and realize that we are nothing. We are created beings. We're dependent 100% upon him. We need him every day of our lives. When we put God back in his rightful place, then and then only can we begin to create harmony in a relationship with God that we desperately need. I don't know about you, but I desperately need a relationship with God where there's harmony, where there's peace, where there's communication, where I can receive all that I need desperately from Him. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." What is that scripture verse saying? If God did not spare the angels, then we will not be spared either if we do not exalt God in everything in our lives. So the question this morning to us, how does God become exalted in our lives? Number one, we must place God at the center of our lives. In a proper relationship with God, I love saying this part, God must become a fixed center, which everything else is measured. And the reason I love saying that is because the world is changing. People are changing. Friends that I used to live and believe in what I believe are changing. But God doesn't change. And so therefore, He must become a fixed center, which everything else is measured to or according to. We must make God the center of our lives. Everything, I mean absolutely everything in our lives must measure from Him, from that fixed point that He is. Exodus chapter 3 verse 14, God says, "I am that I am." Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." God doesn't make any of the changes. We make all the adjustments, all the changes. As a sailor, I know this kind of goes back to the old times because now we have all kinds of technology. But as a sailor locates his position where he is on the sea by looking at the sun, so we must look to God in order to locate where we are with Him, where our position stands with Him. We must look to Him and locate where we are. We might think in ourselves that we are living justly. The Pharisees thought they were living very righteous. The Sadducees thought they were living very righteous. And the hypocrites thought that they were living very righteous. But all three of them weren't. They were following a lot of laws and a lot of commands, but they really weren't living righteous according to what Christ wanted them to live. And we might think in ourselves that we are living justly, but that doesn't really matter. What really matters is what God thinks about us in our lives. We must measure everything in accordance with Him. He must become a fixed center. That is exalting God and putting Him in His rightful place that is His. This morning, we are right when and only we stand in a rightful position with the Almighty God. And we are wrong as long as we stand in any other position. God is the fixed center of our lives. We must make Him the center of our lives. Much of the difficulty in man's relationship with God comes from their unwillingness to place God at the center of their lives. Accepting the fact that He changes not and adjusting our lives accordingly. Many, specifically in this day, insist on trying to modify God and to bring God down to their level. God says, "You can't say that." God says, "You can't have that kind of attitude." I think the wonderful lesson this morning, God says, "You got to forgive." That was a wonderful lesson on forgiveness, and I preach a little devotional about on forgiveness, and there's one thing that Christians have to become really good at doing, and that is forgiving, because we have to do a lot of it. So you might as well get really good at it, because you have to do a lot of it. God says you have to forgive. God says you can't be unkind. You can't have that kind of attitude. You can't have that behavior issue in your life. You can't love that more than me. It's what God says. God says you can't love anything more than me. Nothing. Zero. God says you can't love that more than me. You can't have that in your life. You can't listen to that. You can't watch that. And God says all those things to many people. But many, many people go ahead and do what God says you can't do. What is happening? Man is exalting himself above God instead of exalting God above himself. Man is exalting himself. God says you must love your enemies. You must turn the other cheek. You must pay your tithe. You must be a witness. You must love one another. He gives a lot of wonderful list of things that we can do also. You must honor the Lord's Day. It's wonderful to honor the Lord's Day. It's a blessing to honor the Lord's Day. God gives us a lot of things that we can't do, but he gives us a lot of things that are wonderful to do. And God says these are the things you must do. And guess what? Many, many people don't do what God says you should do. And so what is happening here? One is exalting himself above God. Instead of putting God in the center, we try to bring God to our level. And that's why so many people have a relationship problem with God. That's why so many people have a problem of communicating and knowing God and keeping harmony with God. Because God is not put in the fixed center of their lives. God is not being put in the center of their lives. God is not being exalted, but man is being exalted. So this morning we must cry out to God, "Oh God, be thou exalted in my life above all things." The second way in the process of exalting God is not only putting God as the fixed center of our lives. Number two is placing the world in its rightful place. The moment we make up our minds that we're going to exalt God and put him in his rightful place is the moment that we automatically begin to put the world in its rightful place. And I'm just not talking about worldliness as lifestyles or worldliness as dress, and those are all important. I'm just talking about the whole ball of wax of world. Everything, the world gets put in its rightful place. We find ourselves breaking away from the whole world's parade, the whole world's philosophies and viewpoints and value systems and dreams and plans and wishes and all that the world builds their hopes upon. We no longer build our hopes upon those. Isn't that wonderful? Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness, right? And so we automatically put the world in its rightful place. We no longer build our hopes and dreams upon our retirement plans. And I'm not saying it's wrong to, not wrong to have a retirement plan, but those are not our hopes, and those are not our dreams, and those are not our wishes. Our hopes are built upon God. Our break from the world will be the direct outcome of our changed relationship with God. We have exalted God where he needs to be in our lives, and the world automatically begins to fall in its rightful place. You see, we're not like the world anymore. Because the world of fallen men does not honor God or exalt God in any way. There are millions that claim to be followers of Christ, but really pay a little respect or an honor to the God that he deserves, to God and what he deserves. They give honor to him with their lips. They fill our sanctuaries with, they pack our sanctuaries, and they honor him with their lips. But as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, "These people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is from me, far from me." You know, generally, a simple test, I mean like tests, I don't like tests, but generally a simple test will show how little a man really exalts God in his life. Let the average professing Christian be put to test on what he really honors or exalts in his life. Let him be forced into making a choice between God and money, between God and materialistic things, between God and pleasing men, between God and personal ambitions, between God and himself, between God and human love, between God and worldly pleasures. And God will generally take second place every time. You see, the world will not put God in his rightful place. And those things that I talked about, mentioned, those things, those other things will be exalted far above God. Therefore, a man may proclaim his loyalty to God, but the proof is in his choices that he makes day after day, and week after week, and month after month, and year after year throughout his whole life. A true disciple of Christ must put the world in his rightful place in order for God to be exalted in his life. Be thou exalted, O God, in my life. Be thou exalted, O God, in my life is the language of a victorious spiritual experience with God. It is the key to unlock the door to great treasures of grace from God. The minute we put God in his rightful place and make him the center, and we put the world in its rightful place, it's the key to unlock the great treasures of all the promises that God said, I will be to you. This is what I'll do for you. This is what I'll do for my people. Remember how many times he said that to the people of Israel? He wanted to gather them up. He wanted to be their guide. He wanted to be their leader. He wanted to be all these things for them. So let a seeking man of God reach a place where his life and his lips join in harmony. Be thou exalted, O God, in my life. And when he does that, when a man properly exalts God in his life and puts the world in its rightful place, all of a sudden his Christian life ceases from being complicated. It's not complicated anymore. And 1,000 minor problems will be solved at once. Once a man puts God in the rightful place, in the fixed center of his life. Therefore, he begins to have a proper relationship with God that God planned at the very beginning. God wants relationship. Remember Adam and Eve? He would come in the cool of the evening and walk with them and talk with them. That's what God wants. He wants harmony with us. He wants relationship. He doesn't want religion. He wants relationship with him. God as your creator, and we as a creature. Number three, and I only have 20, so we have plenty of time. No, this is the last one. Placing ourselves in humble surrender. It is our will, finally, that must make a humble surrender to God. Kind of goes like this. God is the fixed center. The world is put in its rightful place. And the heart of man in full surrender. Isn't that beautiful? The heart of man in full surrender to God. John the Baptist said it like this. He must increase and I must decrease. And for every one of us this morning, that place is his. That place is God's by every right in heaven and earth. For God to be exalted in our lives and for us to make a full humble surrender to him. When man takes to himself the place that is rightfully God's. Now, I've been a pastor for a couple years and I've watched this. When man takes to himself the place that is rightfully God's, man's whole course of life will be out of joint. Man's whole course of life will be out of joint. Nothing will or can restore order in a man's life like it ought to be until man makes the great decision. I will surrender my all to God. And God will be exalted in my life. I'm making that choice today. This is what I'm going to do. The truth of the matter, man in his weak humanity, I don't care how smart, intelligent, and strong you think you are, we're all weak. And in man's weak humanity, he will always serve something. If he doesn't surrender to God, he will surrender his all to his own selfish, ridiculous appetites and habits. And just do stupid and dumb things and make stupid and dumb choices and make a mess out of his life and just be. My wife just loves it when I use the word stupid in the pulpit. But that's what man is. Man in his own weak humanity will just make the dumbest and stupidest choices and decisions and wreck and ruin his life and just destroy it. He will always serve something because we're weak. We need God. We need God. And a man will be driven, he will be a driven slave to sin, not able to control himself. And I've watched it over my ministry. People that choose not to exalt God and go their own way and make their own choices and never make a humble surrender, just make a wreck out of their lives and just are driven and do the craziest things that they thought they would never do. Just like at the beginning with Lucifer and his angels, we exalt ourselves instead of exalting God, and the curse will be upon us. And a broken relationship with God will happen. But I have good news. The man who surrenders to Christ completely exchanges a cruel slave driver that broke his relationship with God, we don't know how long ago, for a kind and gentle master whose yoke is easy and his burden is light. There's nothing more beautiful than having a relationship with God. You see, God wants the whole person. He wants our surrender. He wants our all. And God will not rest. And he will not give up. And he will not stop until he has that. You know, sometimes with our spouses or with friends, we can kind of come to a neutral agreement. Okay, you want this and I want that. And so let's somewhere meet in the middle. And we can make a compromise here. And that works. But that doesn't work with God. God says, no. I want your all. I want everything. I want everything. If you want to have a really wonderful relationship and you want to have everything that I can give to you and bestow into your life, I've got to have your all. But if I get that, and I get that, you'll be surprised as you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these wonderful other things and all the promises begin to roll in. And God begins to pour out his blessings upon our lives. God wants the whole person. Sometimes, you say, what do you mean by the whole person? Well, sometimes our mind might approve of what we would like to do or what we think would be a good idea to do and surrender our will to God. Sometimes our will isn't all there. Let me explain. While the emotions of man races ahead, our emotions say, That would be a wonderful thing to honor God. Sometimes our will lags behind. For instance, it feels so good when we sing, Lord, I love thee. Lord, I give myself to thee. It's a beautiful song, even though the writer who wrote it's kind of crazy, but I love the song. Brother Glick wrote it, by the way. Lord, I give myself to thee. It makes us feel heroic. It makes us feel super dedicated. It's quite one thing to say or sing that song. It's another thing when we come to that point where we say, Lord, I do give myself to you. Not just my mind and not just my emotions, but my will is in this. No part of man will do. God wants us all. He wants our mind, our heart, our will, our soul, our spirit. Luke chapter 11 verse 36 says this, if thy whole body be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. God wants our whole body, soul, spirit, and mind. So in conclusion, we must pray this prayer. Be thou exalted, O Lord, in my life. It is the key to heaven's doors. O God, be thou exalted over my possessions, over my family, my friendships, my comforts, my ambitions, my wants, my wishes, my dreams, my desires, my life itself. Rise up, O Lord, into thy proper place of honor. Let me sink, that you may rise above, that thou alone would have preeminence in all things. Be thou exalted, O God, in my life. I want to ask us to stand this morning. Bow our heads. Come, if somebody could come to the piano just for a moment. I know it's Sunday morning, and the toughest time to get somebody to come seek the Lord is on a Sunday morning. As we bow our heads for a moment, I wonder if there'd be at least one. Brother Zager talked about one this morning. But if there's anybody here this morning that would say, Brother Lonnie, I want to have a proper relationship in harmony with God. So this morning I want to come seek Him in my life. And I want Him to be put in the rightful place in my life. Anybody? Anybody want to step out real quick? It's nothing more beautiful than having a relationship with God, having harmony with Him, putting God in His rightful place as the center of our lives. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for our time together. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your help. Thank you, Lord, that you so desperately want to have a relationship with us. You love us so much. And you have so much for us, Lord, as we walk with you. There'd be some here this morning that, to be honest, they really don't have that relationship with you. I pray that you would help them, Lord, somewhere soon, Lord, come to you and exalt you in their lives and put you as the center of their lives, we pray. Thank you for our time together. Bless the rest of our day and bring us into the house of the Lord tonight with your presence once again. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.